Ed Kirby will be doing a couple of different things in the coming weeks in association with the Sharon Historical Society. Always nice and interesting to talk with Ed and learn more, it seems, every time you speak to Ed about our area and the history of our area. The first thing that Ed will be doing will be a book talk. It'll be Zoom, The Making of the Iron Industrial Age, at 7 o'clock on September 11th. And then he'll be part of the Voices of Sharon series with Brian Ross interviewing Ed on 4 o'clock on September the 19th. We had a few minutes to sit down and chat with Ed.
Making of the Iron Industrial Age. It's a new book, actually not quite new because it came out in December, but due to all the factors that went on this year, we never got a chance to do any real publicity on it. The organization of the book, it begins with what was called the Beyond the Mountains place as an introduction, which is a name that was given to it by natives that came in from the western area. It was beyond the mountains to them because they had to cross the Catskills and the Taconics and so forth. And it deals pretty much with the Housatonic watershed, the river watershed, especially the upper river watershed, which is also the Sharon, the Salisbury Iron District. The Salisbury Iron District goes much further than just Salisbury. Actually, extends from about Pawling, New York, all the way up along the borders to New Ashford, Massachusetts. So it's about 80 miles long and probably about 889 square miles altogether. So it's a pretty large area, and it's now also has a federal designation as the Housatonic historical area. The book is set up in this way. First, after the introduction, the historical chronology by decades. It starts for going all the way back to the ancient sequence of when rocks began to form here 1.2 billion years ago. Down through to colonial sequences and things like that by decades. Nothing like that has been done before, and some people like to see things in the proper order, so when it gets into more modern history, this is each decade as at the time in terms of what went on industrial ways, and also in other ways, because you have incidents that are important in history, and I think it's important to tie those into what was actually going on around here. It takes up the building of the Transcontinental Railroad in the Gilded Age, and the Transcontinental Railroad was very important. It was important to Lincoln, who signed the order for it in 1862, and he was very strong in putting it across the middle of the country from the Chicago area into California, whereas the Southerners and the in Congress at the time were much more interested in having it go down through New Orleans, from the Florida area through New Orleans and on to Los Angeles. And Lincoln won out on that one with help some of the characters that you'll see in here. The next section of the book, the whole section on the going through the chronology is probably the largest part of the book, and then there's a series of biographies of the key characters, all who are quite interesting, and the characters that were in the Salisbury Iron District, but also characters that came into the Salisbury Iron District, such as Collis Huntington, who was a big man, the primary money raiser in the Central Pacific Railroad, which was matched up with the Union Pacific Railroad. And he was born in Harwinden, Connecticut, in right around 1820, and married a girl from West Cornwall. So his tie to the area was quite close. And also characters like Mark Hopkins, who was born in western New York State, but the Hopkins were a big Great Barrington family. And he eventually married Mary Frances Sherwood, who was a teacher in Great Barrington. And they started building a house, and he died during the process. And she married the person that was doing the decoration. And the building is still there, built by railroad money through Mark Hopkins, and now called Cyril's Castle. So there are a lot of tie-ins up and down the whole Housatonic Valley in it. Appendix area that's in it takes up quite a bit of geology, dealing with the whole area from ore to iron, and also the effects of climate change. Climate change being such a popular figure right now, I think it's important that we stress more strongly the earth sciences, including geology. I wish those people in Congress had a little bit more of it and realized what we can and what we can't do. We've been having for 4.5 billion years climate change, and we will have it for another 4.5 billion years. We didn't start it, and we can't stop it. There are some things we really should be doing in terms of purifying our atmosphere and taking care of our water, especially in the oceans. So there's a lot that we can do, but we're not going to stop climate change. So we need to find ways to adjust it. I think it's interesting if you look at the amount of water that the Earth had. I think it was something like 33 billion cubic miles of water in three different stages: solid, liquid, and gas. If you melt some of the solid, you're going to have more liquid, and that's why the oceans are going up right now, because we're in an interglacial stage. We're not going to stop that, and it'll eventually will stop itself, as it has during this period that we're going through now, the Pleistocene epoch of the glaciers forming, which has been going on for about 1.9 million years in the most recent one. So basically, I've run through that kind of quickly, but that's pretty much the kind of thing that's in the book.
Well, what's interesting about your book, once again, is it's a local book, but what you just say, if you layer things over it, like climate change, which I don't think a lot of people would do, is you get to then all of a sudden get specific, Ed, like you just said, is that climate change itself is something we can't stop. The only thing we can do in it is modify what we do with the air and the purity of the water and the air we breathe. But over billions of years, the climate will eventually do what it wants to do. But it's interesting that you lay that over with most people try to look at your work and take a look at the iron industry and how it affected us in war and in industry like that. But the book you're talking about the making of the iron industrial age, really goes a lot farther than that and goes a lot deeper than that, as you just explained.
Yeah, I think that's important. That's one of the things I did try to stress in here.
Now, for those of you listening to this, Ed is also going to be doing something very interesting on top of the book talk, which is coming up September 11th at 7 o'clock. You can get the Zoom information at the Sharon Historical Society. But he is also going to be part of the Voices of Sharon series. Brian Ross is doing those interviews, and Brian is going to interview Ed on September 19th at 4 o'clock. Have you met with Brian at all and kind of discussed what you might want to talk about?
No, not at all. I know Brian well, and we've met a number of times, and we haven't discussed this, but I know he'll do a good job. I'm very comfortable with him.
So now, do you have any more books in you, Ed? I mean, you've got quite a few books on quite a few different subjects, all dealing with history in one way or the other.
Yeah, even the two biographies I did first, the one on Butch Cassidy and one on the Sundance Kid, that was pretty much based on history, a different kind of history. I don't have, right now, this is, I think, my 12th, and I've been saying that's the last one. But I do have a couple of novels, and I don't look at myself as a writer, maybe a decent researcher, and I don't know if I can really handle something like that, but I've got a couple that I've been working on.
I'll tell you what, you're a busy guy, Ed, and it's always been busy. Once again, a couple chances. The book talk with Ed Kirby, The Making of the Iron Industrial Age, where you get to see the book, and they'll have you can find out more about that on September 11th at 7, and then once again being interviewed by Brian Ross on the Voices of Sharon series on September 19th. More information is available at Sharon Historical Society, which is sharonhist.org. Ed, thanks for taking a few minutes and talking a little bit about the book, and continued success in writing and keeping us all up to date on the history of the area we live in.
Thanks very much, Marshall.